Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
This particular sermon has been stirring around within me. If you could just, as I'm preaching, just continue to pray that God would release what he wants to release. It has been a busy week and weekend for me already. If you've moved, we are in the position right now of possibly, we've put an offer on another house, we have our house up for sale, all that business happens. How many of you know that you think it's a fun process? Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever looked around your house and went, okay, we're good. And then you start looking closer. Woo! And you find out all of these things that there is to do and whatnot. And so it has been a packed time from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for us. And so I'm just praying that the Holy Spirit is going to preach really well this morning. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? So this sermon was birthed out of something that I would like to ask you a question. Does anybody know what the words are that are above the marquee when you walk into our church? What are the words that are on the building? The marquee is that thing that kind of jets out, right? In there, what are the words? What do they say on that little tiny piece? Not on our sign out in the front, not up on the sign that's on the wall, but just the words that are over there. Does anybody remember what those words are? If you do, shout it out. Okay, so, sorry, that was, I have no idea what anybody said. Okay, so... That was my fault for asking it that way. What is on that sign? It's interesting because what we need to do is we need to become a people, because this is a key component of our vision. We made it big like it is. You see how large those letters are. They are massive sized letters. If you go and it was a challenge to even find it, to get the right person, and God brought the right person along to do this. But it says this: pursue God, find hope, right? And so from the street, or from the, someone's driving by, they look and they can quickly see, because they're so large, that it is, again, pursue God and find hope. The kids are gathered. This is so very important. One of the things I'm gonna ask even right now is the parents could make sure that, I know the kids are gathering back there and whatnot, but make sure you watch your kids, I just don't want it to be everywhere. So just make sure that we're doing that. You're all good. I probably just alarmed a few parents, but I just wasn't expecting to see them all huddled back there, but they're doing fine. Our kids are awesome anyways. So here's what I want you to do. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, 13, help Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 29, 13. Open it up. I would like you to, if you have a pen or if you do this kind of stuff, you have a highlighter, basically some way to emphasize that in your Bible, to write it in there, to whatever you got to do. If you have your Bible on your phone, if there's a way to highlight it, whatever it is, so that you have this, so even later on you come up, because we know Jeremiah, there's other verses in Jeremiah that we look at, but this one specifically says this: you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, this scripture is so very important. There's a concept in hermeneutics that hermeneutics is just the study of scripture to be able to interpret, is the interpretation of what scripture says. And in that concept, there is this sense that when we look at, it doesn't mean we look negatively at something, but we look at it in a way that we would say, so if I can seek God and I can find him, then the question is, right now, when you look at that, so what's happening? Because if I feel like God is very, very far away from me, there's an idea of looking, going, so am I truly seeking him? Because if he says that if you seek me, you're gonna find me, can we trust him? We can, right? And so for me, even over the years, and even in this last season, it has been something of that scripture has been continuously reminding me that no matter how I feel, that's not the truth. Come on now. No matter how I feel, that's not the truth. Something is, so for example, if I feel something and it doesn't line up with what God says, it's not the truth. It may be a fact, but it's not the truth. Do you know that facts change continuously? Right? If you look back in the 1700s and you go back and they would say what the facts are, They would say the facts are this about, for example, when you think of planets and all of these things, but that may have been said, this is a fact right now, but true, it's not, facts change, truth never does. God's truth never changes. And today what I want to talk to you about is I'm taking it again with Pastor Jay's series that he did with Unreasonable, and I'm talking about having an unreasonable pursuit. Now, this is something in my spirit that has been bubbling for a while, but this unreasonable, and you might say unstoppable, might be another word to be able to say that. But an unreasonable, an unstoppable, because an unreasonable is not something where, see, if you are the type of person that has everything in order, you might say unreasonable. Shouldn't it be reasonable in this? Unreasonable simply means the rest of the world's gonna look at this and think it's crazy, right? They're gonna go over and go, huh, what? We do this thing upstairs, and you've maybe heard me many times, but it's called things that make us go, huh? And so for the kids, I usually do something that makes them go, huh? To make it look at how in the world did that just happen? And that is what this season, what I'm talking about is unreasonable pursuit, that no matter what is happening in my life, I'm still going after God. And in this situation, I'm gonna give out some meat today. There might be a little bit of milk in the midst of it, okay? But I'm gonna give out some meat that we might be chewing on for a little bit. Is that okay? Because in the midst of this, this is not something where I'm talking about your salvation. I'm not talking about pursuing God to be saved. I'm not talking about that. I am saved. Even if I make a mistake, even if I sin, now if I have a habit of sin and if I choose that that's okay, then I'm still not here to judge your salvation, but I'd be worried or I'd be concerned. But I don't live every day. You remember when I was a kid that even some of the church that we went to when we were around, which was fantastic church, but there was this series of these movies that caused us as kids to be scared out of our minds. And we would sit there and we never knew whether or not, if we did something bad, we'd think if I died right now or if Jesus came back, boom, I'm going to hell. You know, because those, and the problem with that concept is anybody perfect today? On the way to the church when the kids were freaking out in the car, was anybody perfect? Come on now. And what would, in those moments, but this is not what I'm talking about. So I'm not talking about the fact of to pursue God to find salvation. I'm talking from my situation or from my salvation, from what I know from him, and it is from God, I am going to pursue him with everything that I have. Because I'm going back again to Jeremiah 29, and it says, you will seek me. And where's the promise? Where's the promise? And you will find me. That is a declaration that in the midst of this last season, where it felt like I was crying out to God sometimes in my devotionals, and my Bible was simply just black words on a white page at times, that it was not having the sense. I was crying out for more of the presence of God, and yet it was dull. Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? But in this moment, the belief system has to come this. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what even the enemy is saying, no matter what my mind is saying in the midst of this, I am going to seek God and I am going to find him. And what I mean by that, again, I want to clarify, not talking about your salvation. I'm talking with a closer walk with him, right? I'm talking about that intimacy. I'm talking about that sense of being so close and so connected within the Spirit with the Father. You know, one of the things, but if you go back to that sign out there, is okay. So welcome to Pastor Rod's mind. Strap in for a little bit. It could be a bit crazy, I'm just telling you. But when I walk in over here one day, I come over and I'm looking at the sign and it says, pursue God, find hope. And I'm thinking, so when people walk in here, what should they find? Let's say that somebody drove by and went, what? I need hope. And they see the parking lot full and they drive in here and they walk in here and they're like, they see this.
Welcome to church.
Right, seriously, I know I'm trying to be funny in here to make it easier, but if our faces say we wouldn't know hope if it smacked us in the side of the head, then what is our sign saying to that person? We're not talking about perfection. We're not talking about faking it. But here's the sometimes what in this culture and in this day that we live in right now, people say, well, I want to be real. But what in the fact mean is don't tell me how to feel. And again, I understand the fact that it's all there and we're working through a process and sometimes in things. But when I come to church, if I'm really stressed about something, I have to sit there and say, Lord, I can't walk in the building like this. And it's not that I can't come to Jesus. You understand? Are we not talking? We're talking about maturity here, right? I'm not talking about the fact that I got to go get out of the parking lot. I'm ready. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that I am going to now look around everywhere I am, everybody I see, and I'm going to transport a little bit of hope right there. A little bit of hope right there. A little bit of hope right there. A little bit of hope over here. And it doesn't mean, because if here's the point, I would say it this way. If I waited until I was tickety-boo, you know what that means? That means good to go or everything's fine. I probably wouldn't say a word. Come on now, really? Right? You know what I'm talking about? And it's that thing that when we talk about, so this unreasonable pursuit is talking about hope. A hope that's so contagious. You want to, okay, again, welcome to the mind of Pastor Rod. Okay, so do you, oh, hallelujah, Lord. Sometimes really, really hopeful people annoy me. None of you are like that. You can all pray for me, okay? But I'm talking about somebody who, when they see a problem, they immediately go, Jesus got it. God's got it. And you're like, Pastor Rod, don't you do that? Yes, I do most of the time, okay? But I'm talking about that when I am, listen, when I am struggling with my hope, that person who's full of it can be annoying. Come on now, you're all looking at me like you don't do that. I know you do that, okay? I don't know, I'm guessing. But here's the point in this. It's something where we go, Lord, I don't have to be perfect, but I should not ever be hopeless. And in this last season, I'm just gonna stop being funny for a second. In this last season, I have had to sit there and choose hope over hopelessness. When I've seen things not change, when I've seen things, this is not, you know what I'm talking about? This is not the way it's supposed to be. Anybody said that the last little while? It's not supposed to be this way. And in that moment, it's like, no. I have to once again believe that my God's not done. If you're looking for a way to increase both, when I said the fact of annoying, I mean, there's a person, his name is Steve Backlin. He is the most hope-filled person I have ever seen in my entire life. Anybody know who Steve Backlin is? Put up your hand. If you don't, look it up, get his books, because I'm telling you, he will challenge you, but he will birth new hope inside of you. Let me give you some of the things that he has said, or different quotes about hope today. Hope is the belief that the future will be better than the present, and I have the power to make it so through God. Come on now, let me say that again, right? So it says here, I have the hope. Hope is the belief that the future will be better if I even stop than the present. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, some of you, if you're not here, if you're not in this place, great, just keep going, file it on the shelf, what I'm saying. But if you are in that place where you're struggling with hope, one of the things that happens is you think this is as good as it's gonna get. And here's why. You say, I did this. It might be the sense of self-blame that I wasn't perfect enough. And our brains never go, well, you're not perfect enough. It's the fact of the shame. I loved that song where goodbye shame, goodbye guilt in this. But our brains will tell us, will try to tell us, therefore, that we don't deserve what God has for us. We need to, if you're with me on this, to begin to transition. Some of you might already live in this place, but in the expectation that the Father has a blessing for you today. Let me ask you something else. He has one for you before you leave today. That when you get up in the morning, just try this. And I'm telling you, when you are struggling, this is so hard. But it is the truth. It is something by the word of God that when you wake up in the morning, you say, Lord, I am so grateful for your blessing today. And it's not a, I need this, I want this, I not this. It's not like they're treating God like a genie in the bottle. It's the expectation that my Father loves me so much that he's already got something planned to change my life today. Right? And what happens is when we don't see things shift a lot of times, we begin to put that down and we begin to build houses and live in the land of hopelessness. Do you know that we were never supposed to live in hopelessness? Sometimes we walk through that valley, but it was never a place for us to build a house and live. Do you know what I'm saying? What I mean by build a house and live, I mean cope, right? To just sit there and go, I'm going to just cope. I'm no longer believing for these things. And it's like, well, Pastor Rod, if you knew what happened to me, I get it. Tough stuff. Like, honestly, really, really tough stuff. But in that moment, what do I want to do? Do I want to stay down here, stuck in this pit, or do I want to get up and move? Come on, right? This is this thing. And listen, when you're in there, when you're in that pit, and someone says, get up, here's what happens. You go, well, if I could get up, I'd already be up. Come on now, right? But in this moment, what it's got to be is, Lord, once again, I shift my belief systems, I shift my mind, and I begin to renew my mind to believe again that you have a better path ahead. No matter how long it's been, no matter how difficult it's been, you have a better plan ahead. Let me give you another couple of things. I'm taking longer on this particular section than I thought, but hope is an overall optimistic attitude about the future based on the goodness and the promises of God. Hope is the confident, joyful expectancy that good is coming. I'll give you this one. Increasing hope is the evidence we are renewing our minds with truth and not lies. And everybody said, ouch, right? Because that's, let me read it again. Increasing hope is the evidence we are renewing our minds with truth and not with lies. And that is that sense of, let me give you another couple of them here. God loves to partner with unreasonably optimistic people. I mean, that is so key in our lives. But we understand that for me, it is not about, it's not about positive thinking, but about godly understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not about just the fact of if I can just say these words over and over and over again. I mean, to be honest with you, it'll just become numb and it's just words you're saying. But it's an expectation that the Bible says this. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't taste it. It's not around me. Everywhere I look, it's the opposite. But because the Bible said this, I'm going to stand and believe it. Right? In the midst of all of that, this is this difficulty that we sometimes find ourselves in. But I will give you one more from him. It says, faith people with hope believe that they have many. While faith people without hope believe their options for the future are limited. Now, let me give it to you again. Faith people, we're all faith people, right? In this building right now, we're faith people. Faith people with hope believe they have many options. While faith people without hope, and you say, is that possible? It seems to be. Believe their options, in other words, are limited. And this is the sense that we begin to do right now. I am on a mission to get somehow, listen, look at me. Somehow I believed a lie. And it irritates me beyond belief. Drives me crazy that I believed this. And it's not important of what lie, okay, I believed. It's more the fact that I allowed the enemy to get in there. And it was so masked with facts that I forgot what the truth was. Catch it again. It was so masked with facts, so it looked like it was true, that I forgot what the real truth was. And in those moments, that's why, now if I can ask you, just try your best this morning just to pay attention and grab a hold of it with me just for a minute, so many of you are, but what does pursuing God, What does it look like? Again, as I said, we're not talking about pursuing salvation. We're talking about pursuing God. It talked about, again, Jeremiah 29, 13, really, really important verse in there, that there's a hidden promise in the midst of it. If we look at 1 Peter 1 and 3, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into the living hope. Everybody say living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what I want to do right now, just for the time that I have left, I want to show you what unreasonable pursuit looks like. So grab your Bibles again, and or some kind of pen if you have them, and you might want to write down these passages to look at even later, because we won't have a whole lot of time to look at all of them today. But when I asked myself the question, when I even began to think about this, was, Lord, what does unreasonable pursuit look like? He took me to Noah. And he began to go through and begin to read in Genesis 6, 9 to 22, when we look at the story of Noah. And again, if I could take you to Sunday school just for a second, and what that requires is, again, that we value the stories we've heard 100 times. Who thinks they've heard the Noah's Ark story 100 times in their life? Right? So here's the value in this, that we go deeper and we say, God, there's something new for me to learn in this story, right? In those moments, we say, Lord, I'm going to go deeper and there's something new for me to learn. And when I think of what the unreasonable pursuit is, this is, again, he asks him to build an ark. Many of you know this, but in the middle of the land where you can't get it to the water. And not only that, they don't even know what rain is yet in this minute, the way it is. Everything is basically, if you look at how things were watered, it came up from like dew into the ground and all the things. But to understand that he doesn't even have a full comprehension of what's going about to happen, but he is obedient even when he doesn't understand. And to me, when I think of, for him, for Noah, one of the keys to an unreasonable pursuit is an unquestionable obedience. And you say, well, doesn't unquestionable obedience, isn't that how we get weird? Okay, I'm not talking about the fact that we don't talk to people, we don't ask people, we don't sit there and friends, and does this sound right to you? But I'm talking about the fact of, just because it doesn't, if God asks me to do, if he asks me in a Tim Hortons to walk up and talk to somebody and just begin to present hope to them, you'd sit there and say, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because I know my words are gonna come out backwards. Come on now, anybody been there? You're so nervous that you use words and you know the person's looking at you. Okay, if you don't know this, you haven't been around me long enough yet. Okay, in there, because sometimes I will be talking and I use words and even I don't know what I'm saying. And you're just like, what is happening here right now? But in that moment, you get nervous. But in this, your obedience, because this is what we do. We go, well, you know, another time, God loves me anyways. He does. He adores you. But this level of unreasonable pursuit is something where we go, even if they laugh in my face, even if they scream and yell at me, even if they go tell the manager on me and I'm banned from Tim Hortons forever, which we hope not to do that, but Lord, I am going to present hope today to this person. And it's not shoving the gospel down their throat by telling them they're sinners. We have learned that, right? But it's a matter of presenting hope that God is here for them and to move them. You don't know what peace you're doing. You don't know if you're the first person to present the gospel to them. But it's in those moments that we begin to see change begin to happen. The second person that God began to talk to me about was Abraham. And for him, the unreasonable pursuit is something that always shocks me. When we talk about this story, okay, if you don't think Abraham and Isaac's story on the mountain is crazy, then you haven't read it yet, okay, in there. Because the idea in this, that what God asks him to do, and you got to understand who Isaac is. Isaac is not just his son in this moment, which is hard enough to comprehend and understand. He's the promise he's been waiting for forever. Have you been waiting for something? Has God told you something and you're waiting for it? If all of a sudden it came today, let's just imagine for a second that God told you you were going to have this particular piece of property, okay? And you had it. And then once you had it for a day, he told you to give it away. If he told you all these dreams about what's going to happen in this property and you had it for a day and he told you to give it away, would that not be confusing? Come on now, get with me here for a second. It would be confusing. But in this moment, again, when we have counsel and we talk to those that are around us, I'm not talking about just making decisions off the top of our head, but we understand that God, if you have a purpose and plan in this, for Abraham is like, I'm going to go to the top of the mountain and you told me to sacrifice my son. Now that is just crazy in today's society. And they're going to look at that story and say, what in the world is your God doing? But in that moment, he has this word in Genesis 22 and 5. It's another scripture to highlight in your Bible to make it so that it sticks out in some ways. Because he says this to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. There is this declaration. What was he told? God told him, God didn't say, I'm taking you to the mountain. I'm just faking you out for a little bit here. Just go up, pretend to do it, and everything will be fine, and we'll all come back down the mountain. God didn't say that to him, but there's this expectation in the middle of it. And I'm not talking about, if you're new here, I am not asking you to go take your children up to the top of the mountain. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But maybe something that's valuable and important to you, God has been asking you for. And for me, it might be the fact of simple things. But again, Rod, to return again, that when I ask, you respond immediately in your heart. And that is that returning to that pursuit, that unreasonable pursuit. I think about Jacob, and he wrestles with God, Genesis 32 and 26. And we see that he's wrestling with God. But you see, there's, if you're going to write something down, there are three things that cause us to lose our unreasonable pursuit. And those three things are really, there's probably more than that, but these are at least three of them. The first area that causes us to lose our unreasonable pursuit is our sin, our failure, and our mistakes. So that's one category. Some things that we want to say is a mistake is sin, and we just need to stop doing it. Right? I'm looking, all these fingers are pointing at me. If there's sin in our lives, it's really hard to get close to God, right? Come on now, this is not hard. If there's sin in our lives, it's hard to get close to God in the midst of this. But if we talk about, there's this other part in there, have you ever made a mistake before? And what happens is that mistake, we even sang about it today, that's not my identity. That's not who I am. And here's the ticket. We have to grab a hold of this. Because I've made a mistake, I'm not talking about sin in this situation. If it was that, it's still the same. But if I've made a mistake and I said, Lord, I've made a mistake with this. For example, when I was younger, I had an idea when I began to realize that God wanted me to be blessed, okay? And that prosperity was a possibility. Now listen to my heart in this. I began to unfortunately go, therefore, God wants me to have good furniture. Let me finish the sentence before you have a bird. Listen. And then I said, okay, so I don't have the means. I know God wants me to have this. So I went and got it on credit, expecting him to pay it off. Is that wisdom? Is that God? No. And in those moments, that was a mistake. That was a big mistake. And it took me a while. It took us a while in the midst of all that. But here's the deal. That's not who I am. My mistakes don't define who I am to God. And those are sometimes the things that begin to slow us down because we allow our mistakes to be how we think God sees us. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a real blunt. Has anybody really made a large mistake in your life? God doesn't see you as that mistake. He sees past that mistake and who you're going to become. And it's this sense of walking towards him and this unreasonable pursuit after God that just, can you imagine? I say all these things in this context because we're talking about Jacob. And you know, Kate, you know Jacob from the Bible, right? Jacob goes, he becomes Israel, does a whole lot of great things. But Jacob was messed up. And Jacob did a lot of messed up things. But this is the guy that still wrestles with God because he knows he will bless him. He doesn't let his past mistakes or even the struggles that he has to define who God is. And see, sometimes that's what we do. And if I was to look at the second thing, so the first one is our sin, our failure, our mistakes. Sometimes those things move us away from this unreasonable pursuit, or I would say this unstoppable pursuit of God, getting closer and closer to him. But this is the second one, and this one is a really tough one, is life's woes. If you're writing something down, life's woes. Now, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this in church or not, but life sometimes, you know what I was about to say, right? Okay, yes. It sometimes is just so hard. If some of you don't have any of these things, talk to me afterwards and we'll have a little strategy and we'll put together a package and we'll sell it online, okay? It's a joke, relax. The idea in the midst of this is that all of us go through unbelievable woes. God didn't cause them, but life is just hard sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? And you get up and you start moving and then a punch from the left happens and you're down. You get up, you start moving and a punch from the right happens and you get down. And the next time you go to get up, what are you doing? You're looking for the punch because you're expecting it to come. That means for me that my whole mindset has begun to change, that I'm on my own. Listen, I'm on my own, and I've got to protect myself. Instead of having the sense that I am with him, and he is my protection. Life's woes are so difficult, and they can be some. Here's the third one, and we might look at a little bit next week, but it's God's no's. So we're talking about the fact that sometimes it's the first one might be our mistakes or failures or sins. The second one is life's woes. But the third one is God's no's. And I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about when he says no to you. Have you ever had God say no? Let me give you this part. If you've never had God say no to you, you're probably not listening to him. You're probably just telling him what you want. And we can all say, ouch, go ahead, it's all right. In this moment, for me, it's something where I'm going, God, this is really, really hard. Really hard. Really, really hard. I had asked for some things. I'd wanted some things. Because we have sometimes this image of God as a genie in the bottle. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we think that when God says no, that it's like, well, he's against us. And then what we do is we start to spiral backwards at times and say, well, I must have done something wrong. Come on now, anybody there? I must have done something wrong. It must be about me. And it's not. It goes back to that trust in him, that if it's no now, that he has a plan to bring something else. And whether it's life's woes and he's going to turn them and change them, I wish I could tell you that if when you become a Christian and you walk with God, that nothing ever bad happens to us. It's just not true. But you know what? He is there to walk us through every bit and every piece. Just wrapping this up here this morning, this last one is what I want to talk about, is when I think of an unreasonable pursuit, I think of of Shadrach and the boys, okay? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know the situation where they refuse to bow down, if you know in the story, and they are thrown into the fiery furnace, right? And so you know in this situation, when you look at the story, Daniel chapter 3, verse 27, if you want to just grab your Bibles there, I purposely didn't write, put it in my notes because I wanted to read it and I should have marked it. as... Okay, those of you that are watching from home, pause the television just for a second. Okay, in there. Yes, okay. Pastor does know where Daniel is. There he is. Okay, so Daniel chapter 3 and verse 27. And we know that it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. But 327 says, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power, the hair on their heads was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I've been long this morning, but I want you to listen to me just for a couple of seconds. Give me a few more minutes here. When I think of the amazing part of this story in the fiery furnace, it's a powerful story, it's a victorious story, and it's a miraculous story. To think that they had not had the smell of smoke on them, even when they walked out, that their clothes was not singed, there was no stink of the experience that went with them when they walked out of it. This is huge for us. But I began to sit there and sit before the Lord, and if you knew me enough, you'd know that I'm extremely honest before God. And I would say, and I say this to him, that at times, Lord, I felt like, God, you rescued me from the fire, but boy, do I smell like smoke. Come on now, right? That if someone says, I'm believing for a miracle for you, that all of a sudden I can smell smoke. Now that's an analogy. I'm not talking about I literally smell smoke, but what I mean by that is the enemy wants to plant in my mind the loss from before. Do you know what I'm saying? The fiery furnace we went through where we found that we walked out of it, that they walked out of it with their clothes not singed, there was no smell of smoke on them, and they walked out completely untouched. But there have been times when that's happened for me. But there have been times when I feel like I can smell smoke after everything is said and done. The key for me is this. The unreasonable pursuit is not in the fact that they came out and everything was tickety-boo. Here's what the reasonable pursuit is in this story. It actually goes back to verse 16 and 18. Listen to what they say to the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But then this is the unreasonable statement. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. It's the even if statement in there that is the unreasonable pursuit. It is the powerful statement in the midst of this. The lesson among many of these stories is the fact, or among this story, is that there are singed clothing, or if you can still smell the smoke of the past, if you understand the analogy I'm trying to use in that, that God can bring healing in this moment right now today. That he can restore us and that he can bring change to us so that when we walk in, because there's gotta be healing. Look at me just for a second, and I am wrapping up. There's gotta be healing. We've gotta walk through healing in some of these things. You say, Pastor Rod, I've been going to healing. I've been trying. I'm not talking about trying harder. But here's what I'm talking about. And if you just look at me, and I need to maybe end with this and we'll pick it up next week in this. Here's what I'm talking about. I had recently... anybody remember the story that I had about my shed? This was the one that was behind my house, and I was just sitting there doing some woodworking, and all of a sudden the glory of God filled that little shed so much, and I felt the embrace of the Father so strongly that I just sat there and wept on my little chair and forgot what I was doing, and I was there for over an hour just weeping in his presence amongst sawdust and dirt and everything else everywhere. That was a long time ago. And it hasn't been happening. It's been a struggle. If you understand, look at me just for a second. It hasn't been that way for a long time. But just the other day, a micro minute of his wonderful, beautiful presence came over. And I had to stop everything that I did and went, there's your presence. I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to glorify you right now like it was overwhelming. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was this big compared to what it was before. But I stopped and I celebrated it like it was the same thing. I just washed in that little moment. Because here's what wanted to happen in my mind. Was like, well, it's not like it used to be. Right? That was what was going on in my brain. But I stopped the cycle in my brain and said, Lord, I thank you for the wonderfulness of your presence. I thank you for the sweetness of your presence. And I am going to get up in this moment. I'm going to grab a hold of the wonderful, amazing presence in this moment. And we are going to move forward. Stand with me this morning. If someone could just come to the piano for me, if there's anybody around that can do that, that would be great. Whenever I preach like this or I talk like this, I even talked to a couple in our Thrive group and said, you got to help me because I don't like to preach on something I don't have 100% down. So therefore, I probably never would preach. But we need this so badly right now in where we are. That in this moment, when we just think about this, can we just close our eyes just for a second? Just shut yourself in with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We can just go ahead and start playing in that moment. Thank you, Lord. If you have a sense right now with your eyes closed and just shut in, just said, Pastor Rod, I've kind of walked through the fiery furnace in the last little while. And although that God has taken me through the fiery furnace and I'm out, I smell like smoke. My clothes feel singed. And everywhere I go and everything I do, it seems like that's following me. But today, I reach out to you, Lord. In just this moment right now, I dare not to believe the facts that I'm seeing everywhere around me. I'm going to dare to pursue you, God, no matter whether I'm feeling anything at all right now at all. Zero. And I'm going to choose that even if my clothes still smell, I'm going to pursue you. That even if the fiery trial of the last season still has some effect on me. I'm getting up right now and I'm going to look you straight in the eyes and I'm going to believe that you adore me and that you have a great plan and that you're working on my behalf. I'm getting up right now. Even if, there's the even if statement that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. But our statement might be a little bit different, that even if my clothes tomorrow morning still, if you understand the analogy in this, still feel like the smoke of the past, I am going to choose in this moment right now to praise you. And I'm going to choose to believe that you have a better plan ahead. And you say, Pastor Rod, do you really, you have no idea what I'm going through. All of you remember last November when I couldn't hardly breathe and I was having struggles and all of these things were happening. The last month, the signs are back. And it's not about being overweight and walking up a set of stairs and that kind of sense of not being able to breathe. This is the tightness in the chest, and these are all the things that there. And so my first, see, the reaction is that I can still smell the smoke of the last year, right? But in this moment, I declare in Jesus' name that I am healed. And so with me right now, this isn't about me, this is just an example of this. That if the circumstances are still there, I'm running after you, Holy Spirit. I'm running after you, God. This is not the end. This is not the way this is going to be forever. That my unreasonable pursuit is no matter what I see around me, no matter what I feel, no matter the fear that tries to grip us, I choose you, Lord. I choose to look into your eyes. I choose not to allow the mistakes or the sins. I choose not to allow life's woes, the difficulty things, the really, really hard stuff that doesn't make any sense to separate me from you. Because your word says nothing can separate me from you. I choose, Lord, in the face of a no from you, that the expectation is that you have a better way. I want you, Lord. Come on, say this with me. I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want more and more and more of you, Lord. Come on, say it with me. I want more and more and more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. I need more of you, Lord. In the midst of the scripture that talks about in a dry and weary land where there is no water, that Lord, we cry out to you and you come and you bring what we need in this moment, the water of your refreshing.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.